Thank you so much for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. It's by listening to your heart speak daily that allows you to align your thinking, your feeling, and your doing with your spirit. It is by letting your heart matter that you will be able to live from the inside out. Each week we talk about a quality of the heart that we call heart energies. And those qualities make up the essence of each of us. And they all look a little different, even though they may have the same name. The heart quality or energy that we will be talking about today is simplicity. And if you get your weekly email that tells you what heart energy we're going to be talking about, there's a little saying with it. And the one for this week says, simplicity strips away all the frou-frou. In other words, anything that's extraneous is no longer there. And as we meditate together and synergize across the nation around these energies, we bring these energies strongly to the consciousness of the planet. It's a wonderful act of mission that you get to do just by joining together with us. And every time you re-listen to the archives, you get to add another piece to that synergy that is going to empower a change in the consciousness of our planet. It's going to change us from being energetically heartful as opposed to programmed functional. And most people are programmed functional, but we're trying to be energetic heartful, which is the real creative force in the universe. So let's talk about simplicity. You know, when I was a little girl, you know, most little girls have fantasies about being a movie star or having lots of kids or living in this fabulous house or, you know, a lifestyle that is either very similar to what they have or very different from what they have. My picture was very interesting, and every time I would just let myself fantasize of what I wanted my life to be like, I was living in a very simple kind of house in that it was not elaborate. It was very clean, and it was had simple surroundings that with no clutter. It was beautiful and very ordered, but the feeling I got in it was a great sense of peace, and the picture of it was simplicity. And that was my fantasy, to have an uncluttered, beautiful, but simple, clean, clear life. And that was my fantasy for as long as I can remember. So simplicity was something that I longed for as a child. It's not that my house that I grew up in wasn't totally clean and totally uncluttered in physical things, but energetically I felt a clutter. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was my physical fantasy. So simplicity is without the frou-frou or the energetic clutter.
When I was growing up, I don't know that I had a picture of simplicity, but it was always a important thing to me. I didn't like my life to be too overly complicated. But I never intentionally said, I'm going to make things simple until I got out of college. And then it started hitting me, you know, my life's a little too complicated in a lot of respects. And I did a lot of things over the years. I went for a while without a car. I just walked or rode my bike to work and took public transportation, got rid of my car, simplified my possessions, things like that. But the biggest step, after we had children and we had moved up here, or had our first child and moved up here to North Carolina, We ended up living for a couple of years in the converted barn out in back of your house, Jackie. And it was a all one room living experience. It was sort of like a log cabin. We had a wood stove and some ceiling fans, but there was no central air. There was no,
central heat.
none of the fancy stuff. It was very basic. Our bedroom, our kitchen, our living room were really all one room. We had some little, chest high partitions to sort of sort things out, and we had arranged the furniture in a way to give the suggestion of different rooms for different uses. But it was an amazing experience to live in that simple environment. There wasn't a lot of closet space, so we had to get rid of all the unnecessary possessions. And when you set out to do something like that, you realize that you have boxes that you've probably carried through two or three different moves and different living situations that you've never opened. And when you open them, they contain like a half-used thing of toothpaste and, a lamp with no shade and a crack in it that you were meaning to glue and get another shade for, but you never got around to it. But it still kind of worked, so you didn't want to throw it away. And you just have a whole box full of things that were scooped off the kitchen table in your last move. Unopened circular ads from the mail. A can of tuna fish that you never got around to opening.
I had a great aunt who had a drawer of strings too short to use.
Yeah.
That's what she called it.
We all have just lots of little possessions. If you look around your house, look at the tops of your tables, the top of your desk. There's stuff that's not junk. I mean, you're not just going to pick it up and throw it away. It has some value, but if it disappeared from your life forever, you would never miss it. And we got to go through and get rid of all that kind of stuff and live in that simple one-room environment. It was an enormous gift to our first child. Our second child probably doesn't remember that living situation too much. She was only a year old when we moved out. But the first child still has memories of living there and remembers it fondly because we were always in sight. Whenever she looked up, wherever she was in the house, she could see us because there weren't any walls. And so she always felt safe. As a couple, my wife and I found that we had developed a little dance that we did around each other. When she was in a bad mood, I'd go in the other room and stay out of her way and that sort of thing. And when there is no other room, it forces you to look at stuff like that. So simplicity made us declutter our lives on all levels. It was really an amazing thing. It brought us closer together. It gave us a good family foundation. And it helped us clean out a lot of stuff in our life that didn't need to be that way.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that how we collect. Even though I had that picture of simplicity, right now I need to clean out my closet desperately. It's so easy to just keep adding to, and not discard. And of course, that kind of physical clutter, but then the simplicity requires the emotional clutter be cleared out as well. When I was meditating, and we have talked about this show for a year now, and people have kind of gotten the idea that you meditate in two parts. You have the right brain and the left brain, and some people still do one or the other, but if you do get a right brain picture, you need to interpret it for your life.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are still not really in tune with that right brain, but most of my students are. And so we meditate and let the right brain picture come, and then we take it over and interpret it how it would fit into our life, sort of like a dream.
Right.
Well, I was meditating, and I remember one time going to someone's house. Now, when we had grapefruit at my house, Mother just cut it in half, and we had grapefruit spoons, and you'd have to dig it out, But I went to this house, and this woman had cut these strips, sort of like a flower, the peel, uh-huh. Stripped it off, had cut it, and then tore it loose, and there was this grapefruit, this whole grapefruit, sitting in this flower shape of its peel. It was beautiful, and it just seemed like such a, of course, I'm sure she spent a lot of time making it look that way, but it was such a simple, beautiful picture. And I was just so impressed. You know, I'm sure the grapefruit tastes like any grapefruit, but that was the best grapefruit I ever had. And in my picture this morning was that grapefruit, because to me it was the simplicity of taking a simple thing like a grapefruit and bringing out its beauty. So simplicity to me is looking beyond any clutter to seeing the beauty of simplicity. And to me it was that. It was a grapefruit that she had pulled the beauty from this simple little fruit. And so then I took it to the left brain to understand, but immediately I got another picture. And this was a mama duck with its baby ducks, her baby ducks in a line behind her. And to me, that was very symbolic of order. So it's like I got two pictures with two definitions around simplicity, that you need to have simplicity to clear out all the clutter and just have the beautiful picture of whatever is basic. And the other is that there needs to be order. To have simplicity, you can't have chaos. I mean, all the ducks were not just running to get in the water, but they were in single file behind the mother, all going into the water one at a time. And that's the order of life, because I don't care if you've cut down to the bare minimum, and if you lived in that barn and there was no order to it, you'd still live in chaos.
True. Yeah, I think perhaps you've been living with your husband too long. You've got that beauty piece mixed in with your simplicity.
I know, he's really heavy on the beauty piece.
Once again, though, my picture dovetails pretty closely with yours. When I did my meditation this morning, what I got was taking a piece of fruit on a hike with you as a snack. You know, an apple or a banana, you just grab it and you go on your hike. And then when you're ready, when you're hungry and you need a little pick-me-up, you either peel the fruit, or if it's an apple, you can just bite right through the skin and eat it, and there's your snack. And when you're done, you take the peel or the core or whatever, throw it in the bushes. It's biodegradable. Done. You know, it's everything you need and nothing you don't in this very accessible package. Mm-hmm. Just perfectly set up and available for you to grab and go.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And the more I thought about it, and I tried to relate
or
that.
Or you could take a grapefruit.
You could take a grapefruit. Of course, then you'd have to peel it in a fancy shape, so that might slow you down. But the more I thought about it and compared that to my experiences of, you know, living in the barn and riding my bike and stuff like that, I realized that sort of the central principle for me, I guess, the essence of my simplicity would be that it's anything that gives you a more direct experience of your heart.
But you can look at the physical to see if it lacks beauty, if it lacks order. Now, I do tell you there's some beauty in this, even though you're trying to say it's just my husband that was creeping into my meditation. If there is in my picture, if there is beauty for me and if there's order, it may not apply to you because we each have our own picture. If there's beauty and there's order in my life, it does seem simple. And the minute I begin to feel clutter, chaos, the minute anything looks ugly to me, then it feels complicated, that it needs some work.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're really, really going to simplify our life, if we intend to simplify our life, not just have an area that's simplified, but to simplify our life doesn't mean we all need to move into a barn. Or it doesn't even mean we need to sell off all our things or get rid of our car. But it may require some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that addresses this whole thing of attachment that we have. Because simplicity and attachment don't go together well.
Right.
We have a comment from Christine on our Facebook page that I'd like to acknowledge. She says, simplicity is definitely a hot topic. How to reduce the mental, emotional, and physical clutter to have a clear channel to the heart. Simplicity has to be the key. Perhaps utilizing discernment to focus etheric light through the magnifying glass of the heart in order to get to the quiet knowing and thus letting the noisy drama fall out of the circle of light. Or simplicity is the heat that reduces judgment, fear, and physical fatigue down and evaporates them, leaving the tastiest sauce, which is the essential heart energy path. That's beautifully written, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you considered, Christine, have you considered writing? This is nice. Yeah, and basically she's saying the same thing, including the whole of our being, not just our physical world, but our emotional and our mental clutter that gets in the way that manifests mm-hmm. as physical clutter. Yeah. You want to comment on that, Russell?
I liked both of her images. I was especially drawn to the idea of the sauce where you cook down your ingredients and all the water and stuff cooks out and you're just left with the purest essence.
Mm-hmm.
That strikes a chord with me. That goes to that idea of simplicity being the most direct experience you can have of your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to acknowledge one of our sponsors. Let's talk about the I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter. You know, this is an amazing food in that it spreads easily. It tastes great. Tastes like a bit like peanut butter, but it doesn't have the peanut allergy concern. You can put it with jelly just like you do peanut butter. And it has 30% less fat than peanut butter and is cholesterol-free with 8 grams of soy protein per serving. So it's a great thing to have for your kids' sandwiches, but I love it too. It's a fill-in. When you don't have enough protein in your meal, let it fill in. It's a food of simplicity because you don't have to cook it. You don't even have to refrigerate it. You can take it with you on camping trips. You can take it in the car. You can send it with your kids to school for their lunches. So simplicity fits very well with the I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter. So spread on health with I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter.
Mm-hmm.
This email's from Teresa in Asheville, North Carolina. To me, the Amish represent simplicity. It must be one of this group's founding heart energies. How wonderful that an initial intent is still so strong as time goes by. Simplicity. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, some of those Amish communities have been living the same way, you know, without fancy equipment. They build all of their houses with pegs and hammers instead of nail guns and screws and all that since, you know, they settled here in this country. So 200-300 years worth of simplicity in some of those communities.
Mm-hmm. So basically they haven't added any clutter because they've kept the same basic form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is an interesting correlation. The Amish, you don't really, I'd never thought of that, of them being founded around the intent of simplicity. And that's another thing that we haven't talked about that much, Russ, is this intent.
Uh-huh.
We've mentioned it. But for any heart energy to have a place in your life, you have to define it and bring it in intentionally. But that's that intent. It has to have an intentional place.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
And for a lot of people, for instance, in my picture, beauty and order were very important. some people, simplicity is the absence of beauty. It's just plain.
Right, right.
But whatever your intent of around simplicity is, you've got to make sure that it happens in your life. You can't say, well, I really enjoy the energy of simplicity, but, you know, I'm a terrible housekeeper and things, you know, I just get so overwhelmed and things just get in the way. And I clean it out every so often, but I can't keep it orderly. And I know it doesn't look real good, but, you know, my life's complicated. Well, there is no intent of simplicity. Of course, this is true with all energies, but today that's our subject.
Right. Intent can help you bring that energy instead of just saying, well, I have to get to the point where I'm a little less cluttered and then I'll bring some simplicity.
Exactly.
You can have the intent to bring simplicity and it will start showing you ways to declutter instead of just looking at the mess saying, oh, I can't find a way to even start here, so simplicity will just have to wait.
Mm-hmm. And whatever task you're accomplishing or trying to accomplish, you do need to have the intent of a heart energy.
Mm-hmm.
But simplicity isn't something we incorporate into our intent a lot. But if it really helps to maintain order and to eliminate excess and clutter and complication, then just think how less stress there would be in our world today if people brought the intent of simplicity a little stronger.
And simplicity is a good one to talk about this because, like I said, I've never been an extremely complicated person, but I remember specific moments in my life where I said I intentionally would like to add more simplicity. So this is one that's a good starter for you to think about intentionally adding something. A lot of us have 2, 3, 4 big gifts that we sort of ride most of our life. You know, we have, say, strength and creativity and some loyalty. And that's our personality. We go with those gifts. And other things like patience or flexibility, we never add those unless the situation forces us to. You know, if we're in a work situation where it's being called on, then we'll grudgingly add a little bit as needed. But to sit down and say, I would like to add more of that quality, even though I'm not being forced to, that's a powerful thing. That kind of intention can truly bring an energy into your life in a satisfying way instead of constantly feeling like anything new is a burden because you don't intend to dive into it. It's just kind of forced on you by the situation.
And for instance, if one of your wounds is that lack, which has created greed in your life, simplicity would be a wonderful energy to call on and learn about to change that. This email is from Diane in New York. In meditation this morning, I saw an egg. Later, a hand was holding the egg, and the egg held a lot of symbolism in that it represented newness, birth, and many possibilities beyond a simple beginning point. I feel excited now as I write this because this picture represents a gateway to something more, though I don't know what it is, and I can't wait to see what it will be. That's interesting. Simplicity to her was that everything's contained within this new birth.
Uh-huh.
Everything's contained, and it requires a lot of trust,
right,
to just have the simplicity of, okay, I have this much, not all that abundance of everything cluttered around me in case I might need it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, that also emphasizes that point I made earlier that so many things came to me and my family when we stepped into that place of simplicity. It is a gateway to so many other things. I think that I grew in partnership with my wife. Our sense of family grew. Our satisfaction in life grew by embracing that idea of simplicity. And we think of simplicity as stripping away, less, you know, just paring something down. But really, that simplicity adds so much. It is a gateway to learning so many new pieces and adding so much more to your life.
It uncovers the beauty.
Uh-huh.
And I really like what she said, in that it's like a birthing.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down to the beauty and the order of life, there's beauty. I mean, look at nature. It's definitely there. You know, we're doing a selling job on this energy because it's very important, and it's not one. Every time I do a new student class, I ask the people that are there to tell me what they feel their strongest heart quality is. And I get a lot of kindness and compassion and commitment and loyalty and even dedication. And I get energies such as creativity or you know, organization, or I get energies, mostly it's they think of heart energies as the nice soft things like compassion and kindness and caring and sharing. And do you know, in all these years, and I have taught for a lot of years, I have never ever had anyone name simplicity.
I don't know that tremendous number of people have that. I think that's why it's so important that we're emphasizing it today as something that you can intentionally choose more of. I'm not sure that a lot of us in this culture are born with simplicity.
No, and particularly in our country, you know, greed runs high. I want more, more, more.
Right.
And I feel left out and neglected if I don't have more, more, more. But the simplicity of having simplicity in your life really births a lot of trust. It just does. Mm-hmm. Because you have to trust that your heart's going to create exactly what you need. If you don't have it there, just to run to the closet and dig through and find it.
Right.
That same great aunt that had the drawer of strings, full of strings too short to use.
Uh-huh.
She was quite a collector. She had lived through a lot of lack, and she had then gone into the antique business and had retired. So walking through her house was walking a path through all of the furniture that she had in her house.
Uh-huh.
And my mother broke a strap to her purse while we were visiting there, and she said, oh, there's no problem. She opened, it was a big house, she opened a closet, and there were shelves in the closet full of purses. I mean, there was an abundance of everything, but simplicity was not one of her energies. And I was, you know, just out of high school when we visited there in California, is where she lived. And my thought was, you know, she can't enjoy anything she has.
Yeah.
She can't get to it, really. And there's too much to really enjoy the beauty of one purse, for instance.
Uh-huh.
And while she did have some order to it, as much as she could with that much, there wasn't enough order that you could really move and enjoy what she had. And I think at that point in my life is when I said, okay, my fantasy of simplicity really tops this.
Yeah, I saw one of those shows. I think maybe it was Oprah or one of those talk shows, where they did a whole week on people who are into hoarding their possessions.
Uh-huh.
And they had a decluttering expert. He was, an interior decorator, but he had sort of specialized in helping people simplify their life. And he came in and was kind of leading the charge to help these people move away from their patterns of hoarding possessions. And he said a very cool thing. He said, the things that really matter in your life, like he had opened a drawer and found a watch that belonged to the woman's mother. It was an antique watch, one of those things that you pin on your blouse that women
mm-hmm.
used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was solid silver. It was beautiful. And she said, oh, my gosh, that's my mother's. That was very important. She got it from her mother. And he said, you know, things that are very important for you deserve a place of honor in your life. They need to be displayed in your house. They need to be seen. You need to be able to walk by and remember your mother every time you see it. And if you have too many possessions, then the specialness gets lost in all the mm-hmm. mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of stuff allows that which is important to have a special place in your life.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's time to acknowledge another sponsor. Let's talk about BountifulBuys.com since Christmas is upon us, and this is a shopping online shopping place. It's a place where you can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique, and you can find clothes, accessories, books, gifts, anything that you might need for your Christmas shopping. Excuse me. And it's simple, doesn't take any time, and it will go easy on your wallet as you go easy on the planet, because it's a way to go green online. So just click on to BountifulBuys.com, BountifulBuys.com, and make your Christmas shopping easy. This is from Autumn in Columbus, North Carolina. She says, this morning my picture of simplicity was a white room with a burlap sack filled with potatoes. You could make mashed potatoes, french fries, or potatoes au gratin, but you could also cut the potatoes, carve out designs, and use them for stamping cards or fabric. You could poke a hole in the cut potato to hold a flower. I realized that clearing away the frou-frou makes space for all sorts of possibilities.
Uh-huh.
How interesting. Well, I happen to know Autumn, and she's got creativity out the wazoo. So, you know, her simplicity has a lot of creativity in it. Yeah.
But, you know, that emphasizes that piece about simplicity being the gateway to so many other things. At one point, I read some article on simplifying your life. It was I believe the slant was from a Zen Buddhist perspective. And one of the things they said was, make a list of three or four things that are most important to you, and then eliminate anything that's not on that list and stick to it. You know, things will come up and you'll go, oh, yeah, but this. And no, if it didn't get on your list, then eliminate it. And I used that philosophy. I was wanting to do a self-defense workout class here at the Ottawehee Institute. And I've taken so many exercise classes and martial arts. I've studied four or five different kinds. And I wanted to incorporate the best pieces from all of them. And so I made a list. The three things that I really wanted to be a part of that. I thought that each move should contain a defensive as well as offensive component. I didn't want to use any punches because I think that's stupid. You'll break your knuckles. And I wanted every move to have some sort of movement to it so that you were constantly moving, and that would be the exercise part. And I used those three things. That was my list. And the more I looked at them, the more I could envision the structure of it. And pretty soon I had built up a whole system around those three things that you think if you limit your list, you're limiting your possibilities. But really, if you limit your list to the most important things, it, like Autumn was saying, it really does spark more and more possibilities. I'm still teaching that class, and every night I go in, I offer a new perspective. Something new comes to me, and I go, wow, we could look at this in this way. You know, this is a whole new way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've developed a whole sort of backstory of the shapes that are involved behind each of those three ideas. And it just keeps coming to me. I just keep getting more and more exercises we could do and ways to look at this. And I've never veered from those three things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me because it seems so contradictory. Everybody thinks more is more. but actually less is more.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. You know, a friend of mine put her mother in the Wesley Woods Rest Home in Retirement Center, whatever it's called, in Atlanta several years ago. And she had one of those great big old homes on Atlanta, on Spring Street in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, big, nice home. And she gave everything away. And she said she didn't want her children fighting over her stuff when she died. And she gave it to friends, and I got some of her crystal glasses that she gave to me. And you know, she just handed things out to friends and people that she knew. But she went to a one-room place. Very nice, comfortable, but one room. And she obviously didn't want things, but she still had grandchildren and friends that gave her things at birthday and Christmas. And she would take them, and she would look at them, and she would say, "Oh, look at this. This has such beauty to it." Or, can you just see the comfort in this? Or, "Look how nurturing this gift is." Or, "I see that you really put a lot of thought into this gift." Or, and she would really feel what was the intent. We were talking about intent. Uh-huh. The intent behind that gift. What was that gift intended for? Why did they give her that? And she would talk about it, and she had such gratitude, and she would thank them for it. And then she would say, "Now, who can we give it to?
Mm-hmm.
We want to pass this on."
Mm-hmm.
And so not only did she have everything from that, the simplicity and the beauty and the all of that, but the order of passing it on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved that story. It's a true story, and I just love it.
The ultimate simplicity, receiving the energy instead of the form.
Yes. You know, we talk about baby steps, and you had mentioned one. One that I had was to find an area of stress in your life. And if you have trouble, maybe a friend of yours can point one out, the one you talk about the most. That stress could be another person's habits that you hate, or that stress could be something you have to do that requires you to grow in energy rather than just bring your big ones. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all kinds of stress. It can be something physically wrong with your body. It can be, you know, at Christmas time, our families pull on us and we feel totally obligated to give to them, even though they don't really mean that much to us, you know, or maybe they do mean a lot to us, but we don't have a lot of money to put into it. You know, there's all kinds of stress. Well, I say find the area of stress, one area, you don't have to do all of them, in your life, and look for the natural order and beauty underneath the chaos of that stress.
Uh-huh.
And you will find the simplicity, the intent of why you started doing it in the beginning, or what you need to strip away to really appreciate. For instance, let's say you have a cousin that wants to show up every Christmas, but or expects you to go to their house and have dinner with them and all their kids, but you don't have anything in common with them all year long, and you don't have anything to say while you're there, and their kids are noisy and loud, and you have a miserable time, but you feel like you have to spend Christmas or Thanksgiving there.
Right.
So strip it away and say, well, what is it that is valuable in this relationship? And then really you can enjoy that. You know, you don't have to enjoy going. You can say, no, I don't want to go. But what I really enjoy about this relationship is I really enjoy the fact that we can talk on the phone once in a while and stay up with family matters.
Uh-huh.
Strip it down till it feels beautiful and orderly and simple. Take away the stress.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Okay, where are we now? Do we want to talk a little bit about the... let's talk about this. I have an email right now, and then I want us to talk about the resources that support.
All right.
This is from Martha in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My husband just came back from Wisconsin, and it was snowing and cold, but when he got here, thinking coming to the south, it was just as cold here. It was 25 degrees there, and it was 25 degrees when he got off the plane here. It says, I'm loving all this talk of simplicity. I feel like our society needs more of this core value. Seems like we use the internet and TV to passively entertain ourselves when simple forms of expression would be more special and less expensive. Wow. Okay. We can use TV and internet to entertain ourselves instead of entertaining ourselves with sharing ourselves with another person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could go next door and visit our neighbor a little bit, but we get so caught up in the busyness of our life. That goes back to what I was talking about, the stress that creates the stress. You know, we like to stay, as she said, on TV and internet in our own little cocoon. And what I'm hearing from her say, that simple forms of interaction,
mm-hmm.
We have let pass and kind of slide away.
I agree with that. I think that complexity sort of insulates us or isolates us from interacting with our world. We get so wrapped up in, okay, now I've got to check my emails. Okay, now I've got to get this done. You know, we have lists and lists and lists of things that we have to pick up from the store and mm-hmm. items that we have to check
get our
off
telephone
our
messages. And mine's telephone always messages. Full, 15
yeah.
every day.
And it just sort of isolates you. I, like I said, at one point I made a conscious effort to get away from my car. I felt that my car was complicating my life. So I started walking to work or riding my bike, and the thing that I found was that I had lost touch with nature. I didn't even really know what season it was, because I'd get in my car from my house, I'd walk out my front door, get in my car, drive to work, go inside. I spent a total of maybe 6 steps from the car to the house and from the workplace back to the car every day outside. And the rest of the time I was inside in a little box. And simplifying that, just walking to work or taking the public transportation, forced me to reacquaint myself with the fact that it's winter or it's summer or it's fall. Look at the leaves. You know, it redeveloped my interaction, my relationship with mm-hmm. nature, mm-hmm. which was incredibly valuable to me. I had begun to feel sort of that seasonal affective disorder that people get, you know, when they live in Alaska and it's gray all the time or something. You know, I had begun to feel kind of depressed because I didn't know what season it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Because of that, I mean, that would be my first baby step. And I know it's not appropriate for everybody, but if at all possible, think about walking to work or at least carpooling. Get rid of the idea that you have your own personal car and you get in it and it's just one little box that carries you to another box. See if you can cut that out of your life, at least to a certain extent, and you'll be amazed at how much bigger your life gets.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had mentioned that the Meditation and Needs cassette, it's a cassette,
mm-hmm.
That we have.
That was one of the first things we did.
It was the very first thing, and it's very simplified.
Mm-hmm.
It just basically lays out, hey, when you have a need, the bottom line, the simple answer to that is that there's a heart quality.
And you can find that heart quality by meditating.
It's very simple, and, you know, if anybody were to totally take it seriously and live by it,
mm-hmm.
their life would change. Absolutely, totally change. So meditation and needs, it's simple. It's very simple. It's the basics. And then the book that is the basics of all of our teachings is the first book we put out, Spiritual Energy Cycles. It's a primer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the basics of how energy works. And when we get to the basics of how energy works and that it is energy that meets our needs, and we understand the basics of how we work in the world, then we can really begin to understand simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to realize that, yes, you can take away clutter, you can take away stress, you can get underneath any one thing, and you need to do that to take some baby steps to begin to learn. But the whole goal is to get to the bases, the fundamentals of how we work and why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what those two talk about.
Yeah.
And then we have just produced a new workshop just a couple months ago. It's just now on the website, Aligning with Your Higher Purpose. If you're going to have simplicity, you've got to get down to the core, which is the heart quality, the energy that's behind everything. And to do that, you have to align with your higher purpose.
Yeah, it goes back to that idea of just having a more direct experience of what's real in you.
Yes. Yes. I want to address, once again, a sponsor. And this one is the ottawahee.com. It's a wellness retreat that offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. This is a place where retreat becomes renewal. And again, it's a wonderful, wonderful gift to give at Christmas. It's a gift to give at birthdays, for anniversaries, for any time. But it's a time when a person can go and just renew and relax. It's a time where they can go and simplify not only their life, but their vacation.
Mm-hmm.
This email is from Diana in Jupiter, Florida. I love this energy, she says. This morning in my meditation, I saw a simple backyard with a clothesline. Oh, my goodness. When I was growing up, my mother refused to get a dryer because the sun would get things much whiter.
Uh-huh.
And they were sparkling white. And even after she got a dryer, she still hung out all the whites on the line.
Uh-huh.
She says, I saw a simple backyard with a clothesline. A white sheet was blowing in the breeze and the sun was shining. The image was filled with purity. I had the sense that whenever something is difficult, I just need to wrap the energy of simplicity around it.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Very, very, very good point.
That is a good point.
Mm-hmm. I like that picture because I grew up with that. My mother didn't do it for simplicity's sake. She did it because it would have been a mark on her character to have a dingy sheet.
Dingy sheets, yes. Keeps you out of heaven.
Yeah, it would have.
Uh-huh.
But it was kind of nice to come in and make the beds and have that fresh air smell
uh-huh,
on them.
Uh-huh.
It was nice. Of course, they weren't as soft.
No.
But they were really clean. Yeah, that's a nice picture. Thank you, Diana, for giving us that. This one is from Julie in Lake Lure. I saw a round, simple sculpture of an animal. I met the sculptor, and he was striving to convey his message in its simplest form. I usually think this is what I want and how I want it. Simplicity opens up possibilities. Another person that's seen simplicity as opening up birth or possibilities. That's been three people now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love that less is more idea. In fact, one of the other baby steps that I wrote down is if you're going to make a list of three or four things that are most important to you, and, you know, try and eliminate some of the clutter that doesn't appear on that list, well, that's going to leave you with more time. So do more of those things that are on your list. If health is important to you and you put down health is one of my priorities, I want to work out every day, and then you eliminate some clutter, well, why not work out twice a day? Go for a walk in the morning and go to the gym in the evening. Do more of the things that you love. That's what simplicity provides for me, is a chance to maximize that experience of what I really love.
You might have given another example. I don't know very many people who work out twice a day.
Well, there are some people that like that. That's not going to be it for everybody. But on your list, you might put time to write.
I meditate twice a day.
You know, journal, whatever really feeds you, do more of it. Simplicity doesn't have to be less. If you've decluttered and you have all this extra space, do more of what you love.
Yes, that's a good point. I was just giving you a hard time. This is from Bill in Orlando. My life is full of stress. Other people demand so much of me. Will simplicity help to keep demanding people away from me? You want to address that first?
Well, I don't know if it'll keep demanding people away from you, but it might help you deal with that situation better. One of the things that you've mentioned in several of our classes that I've seen several people around our campus try and incorporate into their life is to set a word limit. When people talk to you and say, well, what do you think about that? Give yourself 10 words or less to respond to them. If you have to be concise and simple in your response, you'll end up saying no more often than trying to give this long-winded explanation and justify your way around something. You'll just say, no, I can't do that.
I really like that example, Russ, because, you know, if we're not simple in our thinking, how are we going to define anything as simplicity? Very, very good. And I know in myself, I have a tendency to get in that right brain and circle round and round and round. And that is a form of mental clutter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean I can't have that picture in that circle, but then it needs to be condensed in the left brain, brought from the female to the male, so that it can be brought down in its simplest, purest form. And I think that somebody just mentioned I think it was Diana that mentioned the purity aspect. You know, simplicity is reduced to the purest form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like anything that makes your life more direct. You know, that word just kept coming to me as I meditated. That idea of just picking up a piece of fruit and eating as your snack. It's a more direct experience than bringing a lunchbox with plastic bags and Ziploc things in it. If you say fewer words, then you're having a more direct communication, and you're laying the foundation for a more direct life.
And what I might say to you, Bill, is that, you know, if you bring any energy with intent into your life, you're going to draw people to you that have that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it will take away some of the demanding people. If you're bringing a lot of stress, then you're going to draw stress to you. And it just increases your stress. So getting rid of those, stripping away the stress and getting to what's underneath that simple form of beauty and order that I saw in my meditation. When you get to that, then you'll draw people who also resonate that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. This is from Sam in Atlanta, Georgia. Will we still have a weekly heart energy meditation after the radio show ends? Thank you, Sam, for asking that. Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm.
And we do hope that people will continue to meditate together when it comes out. You know, we get it on Saturday, and if you start meditating Saturday and Sunday and Monday, but if we hold that we will all still meditate together on Monday and commit to that energy that comes out, then we don't have to have a radio show to synergize and make a difference in the mass conscious. That's the whole intent of doing this radio show, is to get people into seeing the importance of meditating and to offer people the opportunity to meditate together, to make a difference on our planet.
And it is powerful when we all meditate together. If you've been doing it with us this past year, tuning into the radio show and trying to focus on that quality with us all day, surely by now you've felt the difference between those days and days when you just pick a energy out of the air and you just go your own way, if we could all bring our essence together every day like that, amazing things could happen on our planet.
You know, we have some regular listeners that have been very, very supportive and have emailed us their responses, and I have felt the power of their meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they weren't meditators before, and it's not even that they didn't meditate with their family or other people, but I have felt the power and the continuity of what we're all beginning to synergize and bring together in our meditations, and we don't talk to each other.
Right.
Not you and I or any of these people out there listening before we meditate. But there's always that thread of continuity. And we had that less in the beginning.
Uh-huh. And people have shared some beautiful images with us that they got in their meditations. And we encourage you all to keep sharing those on our Facebook page so that other people can feel the power of mm-hmm. of a particularly poignant image that you get in
and
some
we
meditation.
Will continue to have the Facebook, and it will talk about the energy and make, you know, some comment and a place for you. Christine has been wonderful to respond to the Facebook around her meditation, and I so appreciate that
mm-hmm.
because then that makes it available to a lot of people to read that maybe don't have time to come and listen to the show.
Yes.
So that will continue. This is from Beth in Charlotte, North Carolina. Where do you live in North Carolina? I'd love to come visit. Well, we live in Columbus, North Carolina. That's on the western side. And if you know where Georgia and South Carolina and North Carolina come to a little point, we're right there. Right at the foothills of the mountains.
We're actually a little east of that point.
Okay, a little east of that point. But if you look at that point on your map, you will be able to find us. He's very, very specific in his defining, and I'm a little more general. But it's close to there. It's beautiful, beautiful country. It's gorgeous. Right now I'm sitting looking at the mountains. They're beautiful. And in the morning when I look at the mountains, the Purple Mountains Majesty, the song,
uh-huh.
you see where that song came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful place. And we have a beautiful village here at Ottawahee. Not only do you get to come to this part of North Carolina, but you get to come to the Ottawahee Village. And you'll get to meet wonderful, heartful people, and you'll get to take advantage of our stores. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stores here at the village. We have activities. We have classes. We have workout places. And we just it's just a whole wonderful place to come. And we would love to have you come visit. Just check on the Ottawahee, Adawehi, Ottawahee.com website, and come visit us. We would love to meet you. It's you know, you get these emails from people all the time, and you would love to see their faces.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, I think I know you now. I'd like to shake your hand. So it is time for us to end this show today, and we just want to remind everybody that your heart does matter, and your heart matters to us, and our heart matters to you, because it's in the joining of our hearts together that we really empower each other and our planet. So be sure and let your heart matter, and join us again next week.